Some of my students have had 10 people. Some of my clients have had 20 people, 50 people, 115 people, and still done extraordinary, taken a strategy that's been around forever and use that strategy, put yourself in front of them as the expert, give them some tangible outcome, and then move them to the next process, which is going to be one of your offers that you have available.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Guess who it is? Your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with another fighting round, another episode. I love this one because I got to tell you, it's been high on my mind and I just haven't had enough time to focus on this, especially since the pandemic hit. I think it's become even more relevant, and that is virtual events. So we've got a true expert about this who spends their entire day, morning till night, thinking and dreaming about virtual events. How awesome is that? So we're going to talk about how you can build and how I, Anik Singhal, can build a seven-figure business using virtual events. So you got to tune in, pay attention. Now, I actually have a very specific event I'm planning at the time that we're speaking about this. It's still here in the clouds. I've started putting stuff together and I'm putting the pieces together. I'm getting more and more excited about it. So I'm actually going to use this as a consult session, put this in front of our guest, let them help me make this event even better. All right. Now, for those of you who don't know what a virtual event is, it's basically, you know, you go to seminars, you attend live, right? You sit in a hotel room. Okay. Imagine doing that all virtual from your house. That's a virtual event. I've done a few of these. They kill. I've made so much money on virtual events over the last couple of years. Now, when the pandemic first hit, it was like everybody drank the virtual event Kool-Aid. Holy moly. I actually at one point was like, if someone invites me to speak at their virtual summit one more time, I'm going to jump off of a building. Like it was, and now you'll notice it kind of went through its high and it's kind of died down now, but guess what? We're cycling right back. So you're at the perfect opportunity. If you're looking to build a list, if you're looking to get your brand out, if you're looking to generate a burst of incoming cash flow, this is it for you, okay? Just so you know, I am also going to be interviewing someone very soon who actually used a virtual event. Now, he doesn't teach it, but he used a virtual event to generate six figures. It's someone that our guest might even know. His name is John Tallarico. So he will be on. He'll actually be on site soon filming with me. It's going to be fun to do that episode. But before we do any of that, LURN.com, are you a member? Make sure you sign up, free account, join our amazing entrepreneurial community. All right, we are building an amazing community of entrepreneurs that are going to march together and change the world. So LURN.com, make sure you're a part of it. And of course, AnikPodcast.com, make sure you're binge listening to all of our episodes here. Stop wasting time on Netflix and grow your entrepreneurial mind. All right, so AnikPodcast.com. Without further ado, oh, last piece, how can I forget? If you're watching on YouTube, click subscribe, click the thumbs up icon, like icon, leave a comment below, tell everybody about it, copy paste the URL, scream it to the world. Help us grow this podcast. All right. Now, without further ado, I want to introduce you to our guest of the day. His name is Jesse Ecker. Now, Jesse and I have known each other for many years now, and we probably about 4 or 5 years at least that we've spoken. And we came to know each other because at the time that I first met him, he was running all of T. Harv Eker's online business. Now, if you didn't notice, same last name. Yes, they are related. He is his son, but he is his own brand now, which is so amazing. And he's gone out to really master something. So as he was telling me, for a decade, he was doing a lot of the online stuff for the Ecker brand, for the T. Harv Ecker brand. And what they started realizing is how much they're using events and virtual events. And here he is now teaching this and helping students and people who are just getting started create a virtual event that goes off and does $15, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60, $70,000. Can you imagine going into a weekend or going into a couple of days and then a couple of days later you came out $50, $60, $70,000 richer? Like, isn't that great? That a lot of people talk about how do I raise funds for my business? Well, like this. This is how you raise funds for your business. All right. So pay close attention. And so without further ado, Mr. Jesse Ecker, thanks so much for being here, man. It's awesome to have you.
Thanks for having me, buddy. I appreciate you having me. I'm so excited to share about this topic that we're crushing it with and that you crush it with as well.
Yeah. And just to get started right off the top, Jesse, you have, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a virtual event coming up that's about virtual events. Is that
virtual events? About virtual events. Yeah.
Awesome. So everyone, I'm not getting paid for this. There's no compensation. This is not an affiliate link. I just want you to attend it. It's going to be epic training. So I'm going to, this is very rare. I'm going to start with saying, hey, what is the URL that everyone can go to sign up for your virtual event about virtual events? I like saying that.
Yeah, I love it. Isn't it good? It's buildyourbrandonline.com/onic.
buildyourbrandonline.com/onic. Cool. I got my own URL. So everyone, buildyourbrandonline.com/onic. Check it out. It's going to be epic. I am planning on tuning in, and we wanted to get this podcast in time to be able to tell you about it. So Jesse, before we can get started, we do have a little bit of a tradition here at the Fighting Entrepreneurs. If you don't mind repeating after me and raising your right hand, it's the Fighting Entrepreneur Oath. So I, Jesse Ecker, do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
Tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
And reveal my virtual event secrets.
And reveal my virtual event secrets.
I feel like I can read every guest's mind. As I'm getting into it, they're like, where is he going with this? What am I telling the truth about? No, man, I'm excited. So for everyone, you know, I think Jesse is going to talk about what a virtual event is, how it works, just so everyone can know what you're a fly on the wall for today and what you're listening in on. Is I've had the bug. I've had a task on my Asana list now for over two and a half years. Can you believe that? To do an epic, epic virtual event about copy and funnels, where we just geek out on super awesome copy techniques and strategies and funnels and what's working and the latest and the greatest. And it's just been getting bumped and bumped and bumped and bumped. And last year in 2020, we ran what we call Webinar Confidential, which was a two or three day virtual event all about webinars. And it was so epic. Till this day, I get people that just tell me how much they learned and how they watch the replays. And so I'm like, all right, I think there's a hungry market for this more advanced type of training, right? Where you're not just going over how to make money online, but like actually strategies and implementation. So with all that said, I think that's what I'm planning one. It's probably going to be end of year. I want it to be a big show. I want 15,000 plus registrations. I want 3,000 or 4,000 people live. I think I'm going to use this session to get some consult for that. Maybe, maybe not. But I want to turn right over to Jesse. First, speak to all of our listeners who probably don't have a brand online, who don't have a list, who, you know, what is a virtual event? How can they use it to springboard their business?
Yeah, thanks. And I'm looking forward to discussing this because I think more people are going to see in depth as we go through it. The process with you so that we can really chime in and kill it with you, right? Okay, so let's go. Virtual events. So, you know, most people have been to a live event in some nature, like, you know, they've gone or they've been to some sort of live event. They go to this live event, there is this speaker there, and they usually, if it's a good event, put you through a process of transformation. And so what ends up happening is, You attend this event, you freaking love it, you get to sample what this speaker is all about, and then at the end of the talk or during the talk at some certain time, they make an offer for you to go to the next level. And what we have found is that the event business is obviously not a new business, but it's one of the most effective ways to obviously build automatic authority. So if you've ever been a person who has, you know, had a hard time building that know, like, and trust, or you don't have an audience, or you don't have like a booming business where people are word of mouth, like all the time talking about you, you put yourself in front of people who've come to attend your talk on a topic. They're there to listen to you. You speak to them, you share your expertise, because you can't fake it when you're talking to someone, right? Like you're there actually doing it. And then you get to share with them your process, your method, and position yourself as a true expert in the room. They look at you and they're like, okay, this person knows what they're doing. You give them some processes and wins in advance, and then they're in momentum to want to get to work with you. And then you make them an offer to move on, right? And so the process of marketing and sales is simply getting your message in front of more people and having a mechanism to rinse and repeat to be able to sell more of what you do, right? And so the virtual event model is simply just that, just doing it online. So one of the things I know with people is like, I'm scared I don't know if you could swear, but I can swear, like, I'm scared to speak in front of people, right? And, you know, doing it in your own home, when you're in your own office, when you're like around your family or whatever, makes the process so much easier. You're like doing it online, right? And so what I've found with virtual events is just, it takes away the barrier of entry of what the live event industry has done for people and make it actually simple for you to actually implement and speed of implementation so much faster. So, you know, we could get into this, but you don't need to have a big show like Onyx is going to have 15,000. Like, some of my students have had 10 people. Some of my clients have had 20 people, 50 people, 115 people, and still done extraordinary with what they're doing. And that's kind of like the model that we chose, is taking a strategy that's been around forever and use that strategy to share your goods, to share how you can help someone, but really put yourself in front of them as the expert, give them some tangible outcome, and then move them to the next process, which is going to be one of your offers that you have available.
I love it, man. I mean, makes perfect sense. And what's funny is I've never thought of this as a strategy to enter, right? In the beginning, in my head, it's always been like what you do when you already have a big market. So I have a question that came to my mind. So let's say, because this is highly relevant to everyone who's listening, you have students, you've said, that come in, and you said average ones who follow your mechanisms and stuff, $15,000, $20,000 in a couple day event is not out of the question for them. How do they generate the traffic? So let's say we got the whole event planned out. It's there, it's running. How do they actually get people to attend? How many registrations do they typically get? How many show up? Give me some of that data.
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, one of the for someone who's watching, like when we talk about like the levels of where they're at, like I wouldn't recommend someone who is just starting from scratch and never have sold anything to do an event.
Okay.
Because one of the main differences of like doing the event is like you need to have some sort of offer that's validated, right? Meaning that you've sold the offer before. And the reason why is because there's two really big make or breaks in the event model. One is the offer, right? You need a really good offer to move people to. And if you've never sold it before and you're testing it out and you're newer to the market, that's going to be tough for you. Now, if you were doing an event and testing out a new offer, that's a very different thing than someone brand new starting out, right? Because you have experience of running multi-million dollar businesses. It's very different. So selling something, whether that's, you know, your one-on-one coaching or your coaching package or even a course, doing that a couple of times gives you some validation that, okay, people know what this is and have purchased it with money, right? So that's number one. The second big break or break is obviously going to be people in the room, right? And there's so many different ways that you can do this, but, you know, there's the classic, or there's three different ways that we generate traffic. One is organically, right? There is amazing platforms like social media where, you know, you get suggested friends on Facebook. You can add a bunch of suggested friends who are all aligned with you too. And then what you do is you activate your audience doing that. So organically is you have some sort of following, you have connections, you have people that you are associated with. You either do some sort of inbound where you activate your market and put something out there and get people to raise their hand and say, hey, that sounds interesting to me. Or you outbound and reach out to someone and say, hey, this is what I'm up to. What are you up to? Would this be something that you would be, you know, interested in? Now, the numbers, again, don't need to be big. So if you only need a couple sales, right? If you're selling something that's validated, you only need a couple sales, let's say 3 to 5 sales, right? How many people do you think that you need to show up? Well, the lower the numbers, the more intimacy sometimes. So, you know, maybe 10 or 15 people to show up. So how many people on top of that do you need to register? Well, again, lower numbers, higher show up rate, but usually we're seeing with lower numbers around anywhere from 20 to 30% show up rate, right? We just did an event. We had 37% show up rate, which we were stoked on because it's a free event, right? So we just see 20 to 30% show up rate. So then we're thinking, okay, so we have 15, like maybe 30, 40 people to register. So give yourself 6 weeks. You think you'd get 30 or 40 people to say, yeah, I'm into it, by reaching out to them or activating people that follow you. So that's number one method, is obviously going to be organic. And there's a lot of experts, a lot of people that teach organic marketing, right? Facebook groups and all the norm. The second is what we call OPP. OPP is other people's platforms. And other people's platforms is simply like what I'm doing right now. Anik, you mentioned my event. This is a way for me to get traffic on an event, right? People are looking for you to do a training for them, to do some sort of talk for them, to share your expertise, because that's what's going to help them in their audience. So people already have audiences that you can tap into, and that's going to be an easy way for you to grow faster. It's all about the same thing that you would do to your ideal market. You'd reach out to them and say, hey, this is what I got going on. Make it a win-win between them. Do something together. And that will give your face or your message in front of their audience. And then the third is obviously paid traffic. This is something that we do when we have a dialed in event. So when we dial in an event, then we're like, okay, let's now pay for it. Now, if you have the budget to pay for it, go for it. If you have experience with paid ads, do it, right? But we don't need to do that to start it out, because we're not trying to necessarily knock it out of the park the first time. We're trying to dial it in the first time. Then we start knocking it out of the park, because it's a system that you do over and over again. So your event coming up, like, I'll challenge you and say, like, that shouldn't be the first only time you do that event. I'd want you to do that event every couple months. Now you can just do the same event over and over again, the same methodology. And I'll use this as an example. So live events, you see some of the biggest speakers in the industry, like Tony Robbins, UPW. How long has UPW been going on, right? It's been going on for 20, 30 years. My dad, Millionaire Mind Intensive, that's been going for 25 years. They've never changed their front end event system. And every time everyone online is changing all the things that they're doing over and over again, but then they're missing out on how do I dial it? How do I optimize it? How can I scale it if I keep changing it? As well as the people who attend it, like the best thing about live events is people word of mouth, where they're like, I just had the best experience ever. You got to go to this event. But if you keep changing your online events or what you're doing online, what are people supposed to refer to? So what we call is a signature event. And the signature event is a methodology that you can use every single month, which is what we use, or every other month or three times a year, to push people into a position to learn what you do, your process, your method, or learn a tangible outcome, and then move into your program after that. And that's kind of like what we focus on for sure.
No, I love it, man. I mean, that makes perfect sense. It's concise. I love the idea of get something, nail it, dial it in, and then run it again and again. Yeah, especially because with virtual, some parts of it, you might be able to just, yeah, I mean, it's a lot less intensity when it's virtual. I want everyone to understand something. When you want to run a physical event, and physical events have their own place. Listen, I built a 26,000 square foot facility because of physical events, so I'm not one to knock them, but they're expensive, they're tough, they have opportunity costs, they soak up team members, you need resources, cost money. Virtual events, I mean, you have a Zoom account, and bam, you're in the races. It's not that difficult. And so I have been watching some of our own students at Learn just create multi six figures by running, you know, it almost sounds unfair. They get a Zoom account for, I don't know, $100 or something, and turn around next month, they've made like six figures from it. It's like, wow. I mean, we do it all the time. I'll have webinars with thousands of people on. So, but I, again, my case is a little different, and I understand that. So one question is, you gave the numbers, which is amazing. So for anyone who's sitting there thinking, oh, this isn't for me, I mean, basically, if you can get 30, 40 people to sign up for an event, you're game. Like, you should be looking at doing this, because 30, 40 people would mean you get 10 to 15 show up, which means you get 3 to 5 sales. Roughly, what's the price point of these sales? I'm going to assume it's higher ticket, right? Because they've invested all this time with you.
Yeah. So we prefer the premium higher ticket sale. And so it depends on what you are doing and the event you're putting on and if the event is paid or not, right? So we actually like the free events just because law of prospects, the more people that get to see it, usually the better off you get to do. It does affect your show up rate, obviously. And the theory of when you pay attention, right? But we've got processes in place to try to overcome that always. And I'm sure you do too. And so, you know, the premium just gives you a better opportunity, and it also just serves your clients, you know, better. So what we say is, you know, anything between 3 and 5,000 is usually a home run. Now 2,000 works too, but like if you're selling a couple $100 thing, it's probably not going to be as easy for you because now you have to go volume. And I played volume game for 10 years, right? And we have to get hundreds and thousands of sales to make big money. And it's tough, especially if you don't have a big market. So if you are selling something lower end, I challenge you to really think about how you can shift this to a higher end, just because, you know, you're probably sitting on something. It's more of a belief that you can't charge it or a belief that your market won't pay it, but it's just not true. Right. And so you can always add stuff to the delivery to make it higher end. But yeah, we definitely recommend something between 3,000 and 5,000. We've sold 18,000 on ourselves. We've sold high end year long stuff. But again, when you're doing something free and you're doing something, you know, a little low end and you don't have the reputation, $5,000 is probably, you know, anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 is where you're looking.
I couldn't agree more with that. We just recently ran a three hour virtual event, go figure, last week at the time that I'm filming this. And where we talked about premium offers and we talked about the power of premium offers, and we were talking about basically 5,000 or more. Everyone always has this kind of initial reaction to it. They're like, oh my God, it's a lot of money. Well, the thing is, it allows you to serve your customer so much more because of that, which almost makes it even more likely that your target candidate customer will have the results that you've been promising. I highly encourage anyone who's in the coaching, consulting, education, digital publishing space. It is very hard to make digital publishing businesses even work nowadays financially without premium offers in your business. Not to mention, it's not just a financial thing for your own finances, but it is a customer-driven thing as well to actually get results for your customers. So everyone right now, and it makes perfect sense. If you're going to spend 2 days with someone on a virtual event, really coaching, to guiding and teaching and getting them to have breakthroughs, and then you have a $200 pitch, it doesn't make sense. It's overkill. Like, you can sell a $200 product in much simpler ways than that. Okay. So, you know, just for 5 minutes, Jesse, talk about some of the key components of this. Like, you know, there's the registration process, there's the event itself. How many days should the event be? Should it be multi-speakers or only that one person speaking? You know, do you do them live or pre-recorded? Do you Zoom? Like, I don't know. I got all these questions just at a high level. And then I'm going to ask you kind of to close up our podcast today. I'll ask you like three or four kind of more advanced tips that you would give maybe to me to run the virtual event I'm going to run at the end of the year.
Yeah. So I'll break it down into the four sections that we use for our framework. And the first section is design it. The second section is fill it. The third section is run it. And then the fourth section is monetize it. All right. So we'll start with the design, really simple. Now, one of the biggest objections we get is, what the heck do I say for 2 days, right? Like, how am I supposed to do this, right? Like, I have a hard time coming up with content. What do I do? And, you know, the easiest way to explain this is in two different fold. Number one fold is, usually your outcome journey of your market, like the people who follow you or buy your program, they have different steps that they take to get the result, right? So maybe A, B, C, D, E, right? And so they need to take these steps to get the certain outcome that they want with you. And so what I would say then is, if you think about these steps that you already know and you teach and you got clients practicing, what if you just did your event on A to B, right? So you just taught them A to B. Now they know A to B, they feel freaking phenomenal because they got to B, and now you make an offer from B to E, right? That's process number one, super simple. You give them a tangible outcome. They feel like they got a win and they're like, yeah, I want to keep moving because, like, I don't want to stop now, right? So that's one obvious way. The other is, if you have a process and it's like you have these pillars or certain pillars that does it, and you teach an overview of the pillars and then you give them a head start in each of the pillars. Now they have to, they get it, they get something from it, obviously, but they want to move forward. And again, you're looking at your offer of what you are going to be selling, and you work your way backwards, always, like reverse engineering it, you know, the most simple thing possible. So that's how we want to think about designing it in a really simple way, is think about what you're offering, work your way backwards, give them some sort of tangible results or a head start towards getting the outcome that you're promising, all right? And you want your event to feel like it's an event, right? Like, people, and you're probably, you know, on the same page, is that webinars are becoming jaded because people are screwing them up so bad. Like they are, it's like the biggest bait and switch for them, right? And so people aren't showing up as much because they feel like they're not getting anything from them, right? And so it's really important for us to like say, here's the outcome you're going to get from this, not like the three big myths you're going to learn. No one cares about that. If they're going to spend time with you, they want to actually get something from you, right? So we want to think about that in the design. Now, you talked about multi-speaker or single speaker. And I think it just kind of depends on what you want. So for my event, like I'm the single speaker, but I have like my coaches come and they do some talks as well. We've brought in speakers before, and I don't think that there's really a benefit to each other than you can use other speakers as a draw. So, you know, if you have someone speaking for you, you can ask them, hey, can you send an email to your list? Obviously, it's a great way to bring people in extra that's not in your audience. So like that's how people use summits, is they get a bunch of speakers. Those speakers then send emails to the list, and then they bring a bunch of traffic that way. So that's obviously the design element. On the fill side, you just have to decide what you want to fill it and how you want to fill it. The methods you want to use to fill it, we talked about, you know, organic, OPP, or paid ads. Those are the obvious ones. When it comes to running it, you know, it's really simple. It's a two-page funnel, right? You have your registration page and you have your thank you page, right? And then you have your, it's basically the webinar, right? But it's a longer webinar and it's an event, we call it, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, just when it comes down to it, if you got your registration page, your thank you page, some people put an upgrade on the thank you page to get people to pay money. Because they want some VIPs or just to get to some monetization, especially if they're doing some paid ads. And then on the monetized side, you want to be able to make an offer from the event itself, right? So you want an irresistible offer that is super valuable, and it basically is so good people feel stupid saying no to.
So I want to summarize for everybody. That was brilliant. Design it, fill it, run it, monetize it. And I want to draw it in reference to the topic of webinars, since you mentioned that. I think all of our audience understands and knows webinars. I am in many cases known as Mr. Webinar by a lot of people. Like, I love webinars. I mean, 95% of my revenue in this company comes because of webinars. And I'm the first person to stand here and tell you something. There is a change amok in the webinar world. And let me tell you what that change is and how Learn is addressing it. This is a separate episode on all on of its own, but I'll say it. Yes, in addition to what Jesse mentioned, right, with webinars, people not feeling like they're getting that value. Like at Learn, one thing we've always said is if they come to the webinar and don't feel like there's at least 3 to 5 aha moments and things that they walk away with, I don't care if they buy or not, but they should walk away. If the best thing they walk away is like, wow, there's this whole opportunity out there in this whole world that I could be doing. Like that's still for someone a value add, but I see a lot of webinars where it's kept very mysterious, income proof, testimony. And the person at the end is just like excited, but they don't even know what the heck they're getting into. There's a lot of that, and that is getting people jaded, but it's not even just the jaded part. There's just a lot of it happening, right? So people are just getting blind to it. It's just every other day there's a webinar. So we're still having a great show rate. We're still having great things at Learn, but advertising costs are going through the roof, and they're not slowing down. And here's the reality, everybody. Facebook and Google, they're not going to charge you less. There is no realm in which this goes backwards, because Facebook still has to grow their profits. They have to grow their revenue for their shareholders. What do you think they're going to do that? Then they already have 2/3 of the human population on their platform. And then younger generations are saying, no, thank you. We don't want to use Facebook. So they have a problem. So they charge more and more and more. And they have way too many advertisers. So supply and demand is working against us. So the cost will continue to go up. What does that mean? Well, if your show rates stay the same, or fall, costs go up, you are leading to a place where you have to charge more. Now, if you just artificially start charging more and aren't delivering more value, then you're going to lose out as a business. So what's the marriage? The marriage is virtual events. If you want to charge more, you got to deliver more value. You've got to change your offer, but you also have to change the delivery of your offer. Like, how do you actually make the offer? Which is exactly why I love doing this, which is exactly why I'm even thinking about more and more virtual events. There's a big conversation going on right now about turning our lecture hall that we have at the Learn Center into a virtual event room. where we would run virtual events, which is a whole other thing, Jesse, that we need to talk about, because I'm actually thinking about doing that and allowing people to rent it and come in and actually run an entire virtual event from our facility, which would be like beautiful, you know, all screens behind and in front. That's how serious I am about this, because what I'm realizing is that the webinar model is great, but it's slowly getting tougher and tougher and tougher because of the ad costs. So then you're going to go towards, you know, webinars become virtual events where people, and you're right, if you give me 6 to 8 hours with someone, even for one day, I can't help. Like, I can't pitch you for 6 to 8 hours. I'm just like, I will feel moronic. So you're almost forced to give value, right? If like, if you're sitting with someone for 6 to 8 hours, you're like forced to like help them have a breakthrough in their life, which ironically makes them more likely to pay you. And because they spend that much time with you, it makes it more likely that you can ask for more money. So that's virtual events. The other thing, in case people are asking, hey, what is Learn doing, is the exact opposite, low ticket. So what we're doing at Learn now is just creating pattern interrupts for what everybody else is doing. And I'm known for that, by the way, everyone. In 18 years, I'm telling you right now, I'm known to be the person that bounces ship one on what everyone else is doing and goes and finds the next thing, starts doing it, and it's usually very short before a lot of people are doing it. Here, I love virtual events, Jesse. This is why I wanted to get you on. I think you're really on to something. And the more I'm talking to you, the more I'm like, because before we started this, I was still 50-50. I'm like, I'm going to do this virtual event. Am I not going to do it? Now I'm like, the heck with it. I'm going to do it. Like, there's a reason we reconnected on this. Like, it's the universe telling me, like, do your event. And maybe even other events. Gosh, my team is probably listening to this right now and thinking, oh, God, here we go. But no. Okay, so one question for you then is, so let's recap. Design it. Have a higher ticket offer. Fill it. We just went over, you do not need thousands of registrations. Yes, I want thousands of registrations. I'm going after a different goal, everybody. I have an audience. I have a database. I know how to do media buying. I have a big team. But you can get 30, 40, 50 people to register. Congratulations. You got yourself a $10,000, $15,000 event waiting for you. Run the event. We talked about how you could do multi-speakers. You could just do yourself. You can use Zoom. You do not need fancy studios. You literally need a webcam and your like house. Right? And to monetize it, which we talked a lot about. So let's turn to me. We just spent 30 minutes on everybody else. Now it's me time. Okay. I'm playing in a different field. I get that. My event's going to be bigger. I'm shooting for 15,000 registrations, probably at least 3,000 to 4,000 on live, then do an encore, get another 1,000 or 2,000 on for that. What are some techniques or trips? What are some things that you would tell me where you're like, hey man, by the way, we made these little tweaks to our events, or we did it this way, or some advanced like super ninja stuff, 3 or 4 things that I should carry with me.
One of the biggest tweaks we made was no recordings. And the reason because what we said was like, listen, the live event industry, if you go to an event, you get to consume it. If you don't go, you don't consume it. It's your choice, yeah. Right? And so we want to make this as much like the live event industry as possible. And that's why I think we almost had a 40% show up rate last time, because we were grilling in like, listen, like you have to show up to get the goods. And if you don't, we don't really market to you anymore. Like it's done. We invite you to the next event, right? And so people are like, for real, like we don't give it. Because number one is like a 90-minute webinar, you could probably catch up on. A 6 to 8 hour event, there's a very good chance you're not watching that, right? And so, you know that, yeah. So we just said, we're not doing that. And that really helped us big time. And it got people more motivated and it got them to just like stick around. So that was one. Another is throughout the event, like we are after every session, like, well, number one for you, like different lines of communication for how you're going to be like your emails one, but text messages a necessary, like you've got to have people on text. And so one thing that we do on text is one is you can get the reminders, but on the thank you page, when people register for ours, they're going to see that you get, if you text the word coach, you get what we call a coach in your pocket. Right. And so what that does is it gets people to start a conversation with our team and we start to get to know you before the event. And so not only does that work with us for like a nurture campaign, but it works for you as well to feel like you're actually a part of something, like a pre-registration, like it gets exciting. And so we get like a bunch of people on text message, and through the event at every session, We send a text message every single time. And so some people obviously naturally leave, but then some people show up. And so throughout the whole event, like we have this high stick rate through the high thing because we're consistently like sending like reminder emails throughout the event of like, this session ended, here's a new one, here's what's going on, right? And so those are amazing for keeping it flowing, keeping it good. For you, like a great strategy at the beginning is, you know, before your offer, have your most valuable session and talk about that session throughout the event. Now it's $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 a session that you would be giving, and you're giving it away for free. You can't wait to give it to everyone, right? And that session is going to get like your highest show rate, but then you also get people in the room for it. Now I've seen people do this. If the session is something that like maybe is something that's not part of your offer, you can use that as like a bonus when you make it your offer. So you share the session. Obviously we can't go into too much depth with this right now because there's 6 hours of us doing this. Let me throw it in as a fast action bonus when you guys, so they're all hyped up on this amazing session that you just did. And then you add it into your bonus stack as something to do. So that's a killer strategy. Yeah. And so those things that push the needle. Now, another thing that pushed the needle again for us is you know, event only bonuses, right? So we try again, like when you're at a live event, is like when you leave the event, it's done, right? Now we have the luxury of using online marketing, right? So we don't want to necessarily not follow up with people, but we have the event only bonus for people that take action right away or book a call right away, right? So we either, you know, we make an offer, you can book a call or you can buy right away. And if you do any of those things, you qualify for our event only bonuses. If you don't, it's still amazing deal, irresistible, but at the same time, you don't get those event only bonuses, right? So obviously push really hard. I think, you know, the other big thing is having a real storyline, I think, or like some sort of actual process of taking people through a start and finish. I think when people just like put speakers together and there's just no flow, it just becomes like very, it's not really an event, right? Like, you know, those multi-speaker events that people complain about, that's what those are, right? Yeah. They're pitch fests is because they're just thrown all over the place of all these random stuff. But like, if you have like a real choreograph or a real flow of what you're doing and you put speakers or you have sessions leading people to it, it's so natural. Like it's an effortless sale. I've never actually had people beg me to make an offer. Like it was the first time where like, just tell me what you're offering. Right. That's a good feeling to have. Right. Yeah. And like people
very much so. I cannot stress this enough. Everyone, Jesse just landed on gold there. The biggest key to a great event versus an average event is what he just said. I notice a lot of people who do virtual summit style events. By the way, I love doing summit style events. For me, doing a 2-day, one speaker event, it's about as torturous of a feeling as you're ever going to throw my way. It's just not me. I'm not an extrovert. Most people never believe it. I'm an introvert. My best time is when I'm alone behind closed doors, barricaded, you know. So 2 days of engaging with people alone like that and being the only speaker, I just won't do it. That's my truth. I just won't do the event personally. However, I love summits. I love the ability to have an event that I'm hosting, so I get to come in and out, or I'm co-hosting with a friend. So I get break time. I have like 3 or 4 sessions in it. You know, I get to be there in the mornings and in the evenings. Like basically I feel like I get to do the fun stuff. And then, you know, I don't always have to be there and go take like a rest during the middle. So I like that. And then I started researching that model a couple of years ago. And what I noticed is most people who will do that type of event, they start by saying, who are my friends? Who can I have speak at this? Hey, are you free? Hey, are you free? Oh, great. They don't even bother to say like, what are you going to talk about? Oh yeah, let me know what you want. I've had so many people say, let me know whatever you want to talk about. I'm like, I mean, what is your event about? They're like, oh, it's about blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I should talk about this. They're like, yeah, anything you want. I'm like, that sucks. Like, right? So I can tell you right now, I've turned down, Jesse, so this is an event that I've even just been thinking about. Like I haven't even officialized yet and I'm turning people down. As of all of my friends, Funny joke, everybody, is that when we before we started this podcast and we were just, you know, kind of Jesse and I were just talking, I was like, oh, Jesse, by the way, you're speaking at my event. I forgot to tell you about it. So, you know, just be free on this fictitious day that the event happens. But so why? I chose Jesse because I want him to talk about virtual events. I want him to talk about the virtual event funnel from A to Z, because that is a slot on my thing. I'm not the best person to teach it. I was like, who? Jesse is the best person, right? So I met this one speaker. I love her. She was awesome. And I'm like, oh gosh, you are going to be so great. What do you usually talk about? And she gives me her topic. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Not in this event. And she's like, well, what if I turn this and that twist? I said, no, I want someone to talk about this topic. That's it. So you're absolutely right, Jesse. And I think one of the reasons people loved WebinarCon was exactly that. It had a flow to it. It built on top of it. We had traffic time. We had, you know, conversion day. We had funnel time. And like we were learning about one subject for a consolidated period of time, which is, I think, a big part of it. I went on a rant there, but you hit on something which is so important for everybody to know. If you do multi-speaker, please do not make the mistake of just, you know, do the work. It takes speaker selection for me is usually the longest part of my process, because I pick a topic and I have to go out in the world and find the expert for that topic. And in the meantime, I have to piss off a lot of people by saying no, right? Because you'll talk to a lot of people and they're awesome. And then you eventually are like, hey, sorry, I didn't choose you to speak. And they're like, what, am I not good enough for you? I've done this, I've done that. And it's like, no, just the topic. So this is awesome. So Jesse, I'm going to go ahead.
One more thing on that, just because I think it's going to be really valuable. One more quick thing. So I think where most people see the industry icons, like they have these brands and they can be very generic, right? They are very general. And the reason why they're general is because they just want mass amounts of people, but it doesn't become a great event for people. And so, you know, you just laid it on perfectly. Like your webinar is a specific event, like of some specific tangible or specific desirable thing that people want to learn. And so for everyone watching, you know, hopefully you come to our event because we're going to show you exactly how to do this. But number one is like, make it specific of something that they actually want to spend time learning. Because if you don't, it's generic, your show up rates are going to plummet, right? Can't just make it generic. It has to be specific. So and when you make it specific, it's so easy to create an event from, because what is it? It's obviously you're working way backwards of how do I give them this result? So I wanted to add that there.
Great. I completely agree. So listen, everyone, I think Jesse and I could spend the next 5 hours and probably turn this podcast recording into an event just because we are very passionate about this stuff. But my assumption is there's no replays. So you got to get your butt over to buildyourbrandonline.com/Onik, buildyourbrandonline.com/Onik, and just save your spot for it. Show up there, be there live, learn from the master himself. Jesse, it has been epic. Thank you so much. Jesse, any other sites or URLs or social media profiles where people can follow you and learn more from you and get to know you in addition to this event?
Yeah. So one is Instagram. It's Jesse, J-E-S-S-E underscore Ecker, E-K-E-R. And then if you're on Facebook, I have a Facebook group of, we're actually cleaning house right now. So we were at 15,000 people, but we're at 10,000 now, 10,000 entrepreneurs. It's called Build Your Brand Online. You can search that Facebook group. It's really active group that we got going on, but we really want to have the best people in it.
That's a separate topic. How do you clean house? You got to teach me how to do that. I gotta get rid of a lot of people from my groups.
Oh my God. So. It's a manual process.
All right. I mean, that's okay. I'm not going to do it myself. Someone else do it. But
we have our team. So the team is, they have to get rid of anywhere from 100 to 200 people a day. And it's really just the people who, so obviously, you know, we both do Facebook groups and we both know the power of Facebook groups, right? And so the problem with Facebook groups is, and this is for a topic that we can go on, and but the algorithm is the more engagement, the engagement ratio, right? So if you have a mass amounts of people, but they're not engaged, no one sees your stuff anymore. So, you know, the lower the numbers, the better if it's quality, right? So that's kind of like where we're coming with it again.
Oh, I love it. So build your brand online on Facebook. That's your group. If you join it, everybody, make sure to be active. Otherwise, Jesse will kick your butt right back out. So I like that. All right. Awesome, everybody. Buildyourbrandonline.com/Onyx. Go register for the spot, your free seat in the event. Jesse, it has been epic. Thank you so much for being here with us, man. I look forward to having you back again in the future and doing a lot more stuff with you and your brand as well. So congratulations on everything. And everybody, what do I always say? When life pushes you, stand straight, smile, push it the heck back. LURN.com, onyxpodcast.com. Click subscribe below, click the like button, do all kinds of fun stuff. And then, of course, buildyourbrandonline.com/Onyx. It's been grand, everybody. Go out there, kick butt and make your dreams come true. All right? I'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.